Begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be able to dive into your word, Lord, and read the messages that you have for us. You know, we read of the children of Israel who did not have written scripture. They had an oral tradition that they had to seek out a rabbi and learn the scriptures, and they memorized your word and your commands. Lord, we have a book with your words here that we can refer to anytime. And once again, we will dive into your words, and we just ask that your message for us be clear and that you would fill my mouth with your words on this day. Amen. Today's scripture is appropriate for Father's Day. It's the parable of the prodigal son, or the lost son. I'm in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that will be mine.' So he divided his wealth between the two. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. There he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, but no one was giving him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was out in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. So his father came out to him and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you never have given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to his son, 'You have always been with me, you, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found.'" Such is the word of the Lord. You know, when I get to heaven, I really want to have a talk with Peter. Because when Jesus was telling his parables to the disciples, most of them in the beginning, he would explain afterwards what the parable meant. And as he got later on, there were seven that he explained to the disciples. And then he asked, "Do you understand?" And Peter piped up and said, "Oh yeah, we got it." I'd really like to ask why he did that. You know, why couldn't you have just let Jesus explain the last seven? Yeah, that would have been so good. Because There's a couple parables that we have a hard time with. Okay, maybe more than a couple. But this one and the one in Matthew chapter 20 about the person who went out and hired people to work in his field. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyards. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them out to his vineyard. When he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And so they went. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did the same. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here all day long?" And they said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. "These men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is mine? Or is it your eye envious because I am generous?" So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We struggle with this. You know, in our minds, if I work 12 hours and you work 1 hour, I should get paid more. If you have a son who takes his wealth and goes and squanders it, why should he be celebrated when he comes back? When, you know, I'm the older son and I've been here and I've worked all this time. And I think it's because we think of things in terms of monetary value. There's other parables. There's the parable about the lost sheep, where Jesus says that you leave 99 sheep, say, you know, in a safe place to go search for the one that was lost. Why would you risk 99 to go hunt for one sheep? You know, sheep for a shepherd in these days, they were more than just cattle. The sheep knew the shepherd. They knew his voice. And the shepherd knew each sheep by name. So when one was lost, it was as if a beloved pet or possibly even a child was lost. So he would go and search. Because it's not about the value of the sheep. It's about the relationship. It's about something that he cared about and cared for was lost. So he would go and search. Here, we have run into the same thing. With the workers in the vineyard, it's not about how much they received. It's about they had reached an agreement. They received what they were told they would receive, for doing what they were bid to do. And with the lost son, it's not about how much money was squandered. It's about the relationship. A son literally was considered dead and came back to life. You know, Jesus talks about that there will be rejoicing in heaven. When he's speaking to the Pharisees, he says that there will be great rejoicing when one sinner is saved, more so than when 200 of those who don't need saving come to heaven. For Jesus, it's about, and for God, it's about the love. It's about the relationship that he wants with us. Each of us needs to have that same relationship with our Heavenly Father that we have with our own fathers. As a matter of fact, as I was reading, preparing for this, it says that we should call no man father. because our Father is in heaven. Jesus wants that father-child relationship with us. God wants that. He wants to be your Father. He wants you to come to Him when you're in need. He wants you to come to Him when He's hurting, when you're hurting, so that He can care for you. And we do that through prayer. I brought up the Matthew because imagine how the children of Israel will feel. You know, they were chosen thousands of years before Christ came. So when Christ came and the Gentiles were grafted to the vine, we're going to receive the same benefits that they do as the chosen ones, even though that we came thousands of years later. But again, it's that generosity of God that is including us in that celebration. I think it's an issue of perspective. You know, we tend to focus so heavily on what things are worth. You know, we weigh out every decision to the penny on, you know, what makes more sense. We've got to have our cost-benefit analysis. You know, is it worth this? And some things are beyond that measurement. Love and relationships are beyond that measurement. You can't put a price on love. As we go forth today and we think about our fathers, let us think also about our Heavenly Father. And try and talk to Him. You know, sometimes we have a hard time talking to our earthly fathers too. You know, we're all proud. We don't want to appear that we need help. We don't want to have to ask for help. But we know that God hates pride. And the help is there for us. But we do have to humble ourselves and ask. Because that's what we're told to do. And we will receive what we're promised if we obey. If you would, then join me one more time in prayer. Father, we say that word so often. Help us to understand the relationship that you want with us. Help us to fulfill that role of your child and come to know you and depend on you and turn to you for every need and want. For that is what you desire. And in all things, we seek to do thy will. We ask for your help in this. Through the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.